and stood, or seemed, to be standing. Which was not to say that Clown was a figment of his imagination, without influence. Clown saw everything that happened in the nursery and was punctilious in telling Skye's parents when he had done something that required reprimanding. It was Clown who told his parents he had broken the rocking horse, that it had not been, as he had tried to make them think, the fault of one of the other smart toys. He had hated Clown for that betrayal, but not for long. Even Skye had understood that Clown was, apart from Constanza, the only real friend he had, and that there were some things Clown knew that were beyond even Constanza. "Hello," Skye said mournfully. "You've been banished here, I see, for visiting the dolphins." Clown stood alone in the plain white room, the other toys concealed tidily away. "That wasn't the right thing to do, was it, Skye? I could have shown you dolphins. Not the same ones, not real ones, and you've shown them to me before. Not like this. Watch." And suddenly the two of them were standing up in a boat out at sea under a blue sky. All around them the waves were broken by cresting dolphins, their backs like wet pebbles in the sunlight. The illusion of being at sea was marred only by the narrow black windows which ran along one side of the room. In a storybook, Skye had once found a picture of someone else like Clown, dressed in puffed-out striped clothes with big white buttons, with a comical, permanently smiling face framed by bouffant orange hair under a soft, sagging striped hat. When he touched the picture in the book, the clown moved and did the same kinds of tricks and vaguely amusing things that his own clown did. Skye remembered dimly a time when his response to the clown's tricks had been to laugh and clap, as if there were nothing more that could be asked of the universe than to provide the antics of a clown. Now, subtly, even Clown had begun to bore him. He humoured Clown, but their relationship had undergone a profound sea change which could never be entirely reversed. To Skye, Clown had become something to be understood, something to be dissected and parameterized. Clown, he now recognized, was something like the bubble drawing the dolphin had made in the water, a projection carved from light rather than sound. They were not really in a boat, either. Under his feet the room's floor felt as hard and flat as when his father had pushed him inside. Skye did not quite understand how the illusion was created, but it was perfectly realistic, the walls of the nursery nowhere to be seen. "The dolphins in the tank, Sleek and the others, had machines in them," Skye said. He might as well learn something while he was prisoner.
"Why?"
"To help them focus their sonar." "No, I don't mean what were the machines for. I mean who had the idea to put them there in the first place?"
"Ah,
that would have been the Chimerics."
"Who were they?"
"Did they come with us?"
"No,
to answer your last question, though they very much wanted to." Clown's voice was slightly high-pitched and quavery, almost womanly, but never anything other than infinitely patient.
"Remember, Skye, that when the flotilla left Earth's system, left the orbit of Mercury and flew into interstellar space, the flotilla was leaving from a system that was still technically engaged in war. Oh, most of the hostilities had ceased by then, but the terms of the ceasefire had still not been completely thrashed out, and everyone was still very much on a war footing, ready to return to the fray at a moment's notice. There were many factions who saw the closing stages of the war as their last chance to make a difference. Some of them, by this time, were little more than highly organized brigands. The Chimerics, or more precisely the Chimeric faction that created the dolphins, were certainly one of those. The Chimerics in general had taken cyborgization to new extremes, blending themselves and their animals with machines. This faction had pushed